Well, great to be back. It's been over a year, I guess, since I talked here. I always like to come back and I always like to come for the sitting because I get to look at the white wall. And I always remember that when we first got this place, the baseboard has a little inward ledge, and we called that the roach track. So that's where they could... This was a drug rehab house in 1975 when we bought it. And at that time, the old mansions on the lakes were white elephants. The rich people were moving out to the to Wayzata, I guess. So, quite a transformation. And I'm always impressed as I come here to see the indigenous Minnesota meditators in winter on the ice in little huts. So, I always think that's the hard practice. It's kind of like a reverse sweat lodge. But often there's a some kind of sacrament. Bud Light, I think, is a common sacrament. And, but they are out there, as Dogen says, fishing for the golden fish. But Dogen says the golden fish comes without fishing for it. So I thought we'd talk today about not fishing for it. But we really want to be in cahoots with those guys out there and everyone around us in this big city. So the meditation is a way to step beyond our usual, our temporary species, race, and gender assignment. Just become part of upwelling. And I thought I'd remind you that if you go to the middle of the lake at 5:59 tonight, you can observe a beautiful sunset if it's clear. And at 6:31, the full moon. So I'd advise being in the middle of a city lake at 5:59 through 6:31. When I talk here, I also like to remind people that the building was purchased with a gift from Robert and Nancy Persig. They paid had a third of the purchase price of this building. So some of you have probably read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, which I see is getting another round of interest. People are reading it again. But that always makes me wonder about creating archives because, you know, 45 years Tim and I have been around doing this. I've written a book. Tim has got to write down his memories of Suzuki Roshi. And there are many people who ought to be interviewed about this strange event where in Minneapolis, when a handful of people gathered who knew about Zen activity in San Francisco and New York, probably the first Caucasian meditators in the great center of this country came together and crossed their legs and completely confused themselves about what they were doing. I remember calling our mutual friend Loring Palmer, and who was a student of Suzuki Roshi's, and asking Loring to ask Suzuki if we could do a sesshin without a teacher here. And Loring asked him, and he told Loring to tell us, yes, as long as you're sincere. As long as you're sincere. No harm. give it a shot. So he did. And we're confused. But I was thinking about this as I prepared a few things to talk about. There was some very early Japanese Zen master, whose name I can't remember, who was quoted as saying, bringing Zen to America. This was one of these guys who was over here in the turn of the century. Bringing Zen to America would be like uprooting a flower, holding the roots against a rock, and waiting. Now, does anyone remember who said that? Did I make that up? No, I didn't. So anyway, that was a very cynical assessment of the possibilities of taking this very culturally dependent Japanese thing called Zen and bringing it to America. But in Suzuki's book that came out in 70, which meant these are lectures from the 60s, he was much more positive. This is in his epilogue. Here in America, we cannot define Zen Buddhists the same way we do in Japan. American students are not priests, and yet not completely laymen. I understand it this way. That you are not priests is an easy matter. But that you are not exactly laymen is more difficult. So in the 60s, he looked out at us and he said, oh, these aren't Japanese priests, I know that. They're also not Japanese laymen. They're coming to sesshins, they're trying to sit, they're trying to break records sitting and doing things like priests ought to do. So very interesting. And he said at one point, well, Zen is dead in Japan. It's just, to me that meant Lutheranism is dead in Minnesota. You know, a lot of people do it, but it doesn't mean much. You know, you get buried in the temple. You get married in the Lutheran church. You go on Easter Sunday. I go to the candlelight ceremony at my daughter's father-in-law's church, which is beautiful. So, you know, Tim is not exactly a Japanese priest, but he's a priest. I'm not exactly a Japanese layman. I practice all the time. So something funny was happening in America. I think you are special people and want some special practice that is not exactly priest's practice and not exactly layman's practice. You are on your way to discovering some appropriate way of life. I think that is our Zen community, our group. And that's in part what's happened over now almost a half century. There are dozens of yoga and meditation groups in the Twin Cities of different types, different cultural backgrounds, different approaches. It's certainly not monolithic. So why come here? My answer would be the real focus on Zazen, setting aside all the cultural weirdness of Japan that is like holding a root to a rock and waiting it for it to bloom. The very core practice of Zazen was completely alive for Suzuki and Katagiri Roshis, and that's what they transmitted here. So I wanted to look at another quote from Suzuki, which has been in my head for many, many years. When I came back, I lived in the San Francisco at Page Street for a year, the year Suzuki died and brought back Zen mind, beginner's mind, and my parents, who were Unitarian atheist types, as I was, didn't have too much to say about this Buddhism stuff. They became very friendly with Katagiri and Tomoe and had them to dinner, and they had my parents and me to dinner and my wife at the time. But after my father's death, I found in his materials a little note card that had a quote from Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. Just a quote, and he was a English teacher like me, so it had a citation, of course, page number. So I checked it out, and let me read it to you. I find this very helpful. So here is the single sentence that he wrote down. You must force yourself to be patient, but in constancy, there is no particular effort involved. There is only the unchanging ability to accept things as they are. You must force yourself to be patient, but in constancy there is no particular effort involved. There is only the unchanging ability to accept things as they are. So I taped that above my desk and looked at it. It's been there for some years, and periodically I go back and get the whole context of what Suzuki was up to, which may clarify that. So this comes out of a lecture that Suzuki must have given in the 60s. I have always said that you must be very patient if you want to understand Buddhism. But I have been seeking for a better word than patience. So I'm always telling students at the U or in my retreats to be patient. You know, there's a reason to do this. Hang in there. Work with me. Suzuki goes on, the usual translation of the Japanese word nin, N-I-N, is patience, which, by the way, is Katagiri's name. Dainin, great patience. The usual translation of the Japanese word nin is patience, but perhaps constancy is a better word. You must force yourself to be patient, but in constancy there is no particular effort involved. So that's right, isn't it? If you're being patient, you're putting up with something and waiting for it to end, right? I am patiently putting up with my wife's ex, or my husband's ex, or my significant other's ex, or my whatever it is. And hurry up. You know, let's get over it. Get on to the next thing. So patience implies we're always leaning into the future, which, of course, is the opposite of what Suzuki wants us to cultivate and we want to cultivate in Zazen. As long as we're leaning into the future, hurrying up the next moment, we're suffering. This moment isn't good enough. Therefore, I'm being damn patient. Well, yeah, we all experience that all the time, and in Zen practice. Why do these thoughts keep afflicting me? That's why retreats are nice. When I go to a retreat, I can't read the editorial page. And then that puts into my meditation later, Governor Pawlenty, get out of there. Barack Obama, get out. So at a retreat, that stuff isn't coming in. And it can settle for a time. And then for a time, we can be really standing on our own two feet without leaning into the future. That experience of being rushed in the kitchen and suddenly the cereal is here and the milk is there and we're triple tasking. So that's off balance. Not that we don't do that in our lives at times out of sheer necessity. But then in the Zazen we have an opportunity to try to work with not leaning into the future. So Suzuki's suggestion, and I always loved Suzuki's interest in English and his trying to get the right words. I had a very important sesshin with him at one time, or a dokusan during a sesshin, and was asking some questions, and he said, well, through our practice you can gain some power. And then he said, no, power is bad. Through our practice, maybe you gain some possibility. Very different feel than power. Possibility. So here he suggests constancy. You must force yourself to be patient, but in constancy, there is no particular effort involved. There is only the unchanging ability to accept things as they are. For people who have no idea of emptiness, this ability may appear to be patience, but patience can actually be non-acceptance. People who know, even if only intuitively, the state of emptiness always have open the possibility of accepting things as they are. They can appreciate everything and everything they do. Even though it may be very difficult, they will always be able to dissolve their problems by constancy. So, sometime back in the 70s, my father wrote that on a note card, a 3x5 card. He knew how impatient I was. So, and he was impatient too, but not as impatient as I was. So somehow that came down to me as a reminder about finding this again and sitting with it. So again and again, the mind produces thoughts, produces distraction. We want something else. We want supreme, perfect enlightenment. Why isn't it here? Next year, at the next session, I will break through. Well, Suzuki called that sitting with a gaining idea. Sitting with a gaining idea, which means you're already far apart from sitting, just being here. Resting in this infinite upwelling that comes through our fingers and toes, bodies, mind, gravity, space, time, matter, energy. Dogen's golden fish that comes without fishing for it, because those guys out there are happiest when they don't care if they catch a fish. That's when it's really good. I mean, I fish myself, not ice fishing, but it's best when you don't care. As long as you care, you're leaning into the future. So, nice to say, hard to do. And Suzuki gives some nice metaphors about doing it. So something else I came across, I think this got into one of the little books that came after Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. But this was from the Windmill in 92, but a lecture he gave in Atasahara in the summer of 1969. Through long practice and training, we get rid of our ego. Well, Tim and I have had lots of discussion over breakfast about what the hell is this getting rid of the ego stuff. I mean, this is wonderful to say. It sounds simple. Well, wait a minute. Ego, attachment. Am I not to be attached to my beloved children? That's absurd. Ego, who's going to put my pants on in the morning if I'm not there? What's going to happen? I'll embarrass myself. My zipper will be down in class. So, but notice how Suzuki works with the word ego. Through long practice and training, we get rid of our ego. A word in Chinese or Japanese which expresses this training is nabu, N-A-B-U. Nabu means to refine silk. Nabu means to refine silk, we wash it many times so that the threads can be white and soft enough to weave. We also use the same character, nabu, for iron. We hit the iron when it is hot, not to forge it or to shape it, but just to make it strong. Of course, he's talking about zazen. So we hit the iron not to shape it, not to improve ourselves. I can be my ratty old self. However, I can be strengthened in what I am. We temper it. After it is cold, even though you hit it, it doesn't work. Training is something like this. When you are young, you have a lot of ego, a lot of desires. Evil desires, so to speak. Of course, in 69, when he was saying this, I was 29. Now, all my evil desires are now gone. My wife will attest to this. I told her she should come hear me lecture, and she said, thank you very much, but no thanks. I hear enough. So when you are young, you have a lot of ego, a lot of desires, evil desires, so to speak. If you rub your ego and wash it, you will become quite soft, like pure white silk. Even though you have various strong desires, if you hit and temper them enough, you will have strong, sharp iron, like a Japanese sword. This is how we train ourselves. I think you can understand, however, the difference between personality and ego. Ego is something that covers your good personality. Everyone has a character, but if you don't train yourself, your character is covered by ego. You cannot appreciate your personality. So this is very interesting. Suzuki sees ego as something that obstructs our way of being, each of us different. Kind of as you work a beautiful piece of wood and the grain comes out. And then you see something beautiful. But it's always alarming to hear that we're going to get rid of our ego and become empty. Whatever that would be. Catatonic? What? So Suzuki saw this not as I will cease to be Eric and Tim will cease to be Tim, but will become more soft, strong, beautiful, as we are, more and more. So, a very interesting distinction. We're working that ego. We're washing, smoothing, softening, as well as hammering some of our absurdities, so that then we can really be who and what we are. Each of us individual, but also each of us completely enmeshed in this time, space, matter, energy, Buddha, Dharma, Holy Spirit, whatever it is that we're rising up from moment by moment. So how do we do that? The good news about Soto Zen is it's very, very simple. No koans, no 35 koans to penetrate, and then you get a stamp of approval. But too simple, isn't it? Here's what Suzuki says. Moment after moment, to watch your breathing, to watch your posture, is true nature. There is no secret beyond this point. Moment after moment, to watch your breathing, to watch your posture, is true nature. There is no secret beyond this point. So that's right. Bare bones, bare attention, just in this present flowing moment. Thoughts rise and fall, the breath flows. Readjust the back a bit. Let the mind become steady, like the candle flame in the windless room, which is the image of nirvana. Neither Suzuki nor Katagiri taught me any technique other than counting the breath and following the breath. That's it. Over 20 years and no special secrets. So all over now, especially on the web, you can send money and get the true secret. So I think of the breath, and I still use the breath. As I sat here next to Tim during the morning sit, noticing my heart rate was up because I was going to talk, I just counted some breaths. 45 years later, you'd think I'd be beyond that, right? No. We're human. We are just plain, ordinary humans, which is miraculous. Our hearts beat, our digestion works. As the old koan goes in Zen, there are no miracles except I eat when hungry, I sleep when sleeping. And no one yet understands how the body does any of that, or how it produces this awareness that each of us has. I often think of the breath as like Ariadne's thread. If you remember the story of Theseus and the Minotaur, Theseus had to go to Crete because the king of Crete was demanding virgins and young men for sacrifice in the labyrinth where the Minotaur, half bull, half human, devoured every year the seven virgins and seven beautiful young men. So Ariadne gave to Theseus a skein of thread so he could go through the maze of the labyrinth with the thread. And after killing the Minotaur, the heroes always somehow managed to kill the Minotaur, he could get out. Well, you know, each of us has this fine silken thread of breath that's always in motion, and that can lead us out past our obsessions and fanaticisms and pushy thoughts, sticky thoughts, fears, anxieties. So it's a great tool, and each of us own it, and we can employ it. And then when everything else is rising with it, no particular effort. So that effort, that discipline of washing the silk, hammering the red-hot iron, can move to effortlessness. We move into what in athletics is called the zone, or the flow. So when people go off a ski jump and go a million different directions, they better be in the flow of that activity. It's incredible. Now, what's amazing about Zen, and that's totally outside of Western culture, is we're working on being in the zone of being in the zone. We're working on being in the flow of just being in the flow, just this moment. We don't have an object of flipping through the air, or an object like making the basket, or an object like playing a Bach cantata. In all of those things, we go into the flow. But in Zazen, the flow is just flow. Nothing. No object. So you get this at the end of the Genjo koan, and I'm sure some of you have worked with Dogen's Genjo koan. It's a lovely final image where the monk approaches the master with his question. As Zen master Pao Che of Mount Ma Yu was fanning himself, a monk came up and said, "The nature of the wind is constancy." There's that word again. "The nature of the wind is constancy. There is no place it does not reach. Why use a fan?" So this is this dilemma that Dogen felt from the beginning of his life as a monk. We're taught that the Buddha's enlightenment, that all things, all beings are Buddha. Everything is Buddha. All beings are in light. The wind is constancy. It's everywhere. The Buddha Dharma is everywhere. Well, then why do I have to practice? That's unfair. I'm already the Buddha. I don't want to practice. Things should be good. So this is the monk is wrestling with this as Dogen wrestled with it. And Dogen in some ways resolves it by saying, there's no such thing as practice. There's no such thing as enlightenment. There's only practice and enlightenment. And this comes through in the story. So the monk says, the nature of the wind is constancy. There is no place it does not reach. Why use a fan? Pao Che answered, you only know the nature of the wind is constancy. Now when Katagiri Roshi taught this, he chuckled and said, Pao Che is being too kind. The monk doesn't even know that. But he was polite. Pao Che says, you haven't yet grasped the meaning of its reaching every place. Well, what is the meaning of its reaching every place? Asked the monk. The master only fanned himself. the monk vowed. So, yeah. These were the days before air conditioning, right? It was probably a hot summer day. The monk has a big fan of some kind. It's obvious, isn't it? You stop fanning and you get hot again. So you better stop doing zazen and something shrinks and contracts. It's just the way it is. It's the bad news. And an old dilemma. It's a very important dilemma in Christian thought. If I am among the elect, whom God has foreknown since even before my birth, because he's omniscient, that I'm going to be saved, why do I have to behave well? The Puritans wrestled mightily with that dilemma. I think I'm behaving well, but how can I be sure that I've been chosen to go to heaven? Is my practice good enough? So grace versus works. In this case, practice versus enlightenment. Only it's all summed up in the one thing. So let me end with two things. Here's Suzuki again. I don't know where this quote is from. I've lost, being a bad English student, the citation. The pure source is all over. Each being is itself pure source. And pure source is nothing but each being. The stream itself is pure source, and pure source is the stream. So each of us is like one of the many rivulets coming to join a stream. But are we different from the stream? Is the wellspring of water that flows down in the stream different than the stream? Well, yeah. I can sit by the source, I can sit by the side of the stream. And yet, there's no point where you can say it begins here and ends there. It's impossible. So it's like the fanning. You can't separate the movement of practice from the experience of waking up a little bit. Settling a bit. Settling the self on the self, as Katagiri used to say. But enough said. Let me give you my favorite Hafez poem. And I also have the Sermon on the Mount, but we'll just give you one completely Zen thing that Jesus said. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So you don't need to lean so much into the future. Here's the modern language. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. So, relax. But here's a great Hafez, very appropriate, on Lake Calhoun, where the sunsets are magnificent. My wife and I like to get down here with the dog out onto the lake at sunset, because it's just a fantastic golden view, and also from these windows if you're here at sunset. Well, this is Hafez, 13th century Persian, great mystic, the sky wheel turns us into dawn and fills creation again with color. So I almost went out on the lake to watch the sun rise, but I was trying to figure out what I ought to say here. So I missed it. I went upstairs, though, and saw it. The sky wheel turns us into dawn and fills creation again with color. Let it be our weakness, this thirst love for the world, the sun coming up like red gold being poured. Let it be our weakness, this thirst love for the world, the sun coming up like red gold being poured. I was at a retreat a year ago at IMS with Kabat-Zinn and a British woman, Feldman, and she had to urge everyone to look out the window and see the beauty because they were all being monkish. Oh, well, I shouldn't enjoy anything. No, it's the long views, the beauty of this world. The Zen poetry is filled with that, this image of how gorgeous the universe is. And Hafez had the same struggle against the mullahs. The potter's wheel moves, and shapes change quickly. And of course, the earth is the potter's wheel for us humans. The potter's wheel moves, and shapes change quickly. Let the jar I am becoming turn to a wine cup. Fill me with your love for being awake. Fill me with your God's, Allah's love, Buddha Dharma's love for being awake. So many of us have become jars that are more like peanut butter jar. So I have a jar that might be called professor or English teacher, and then there are jars that are called lawyer and scientist or whatever, father, mother. That's all fine, but we also should be a wine cup. I'm no hypocrite renunciate. Call me this delicious substance you taste when you create new beauty. I'm no hypocrite renunciate. Call me this delicious substance you taste, you as God here, when you create new beauty. So Hafez wants to be the wine cup that is filled with the fine wine of God's creation. Be strong, Hafez. Work here inside time. Where we fail, catch hold again and climb. Be strong, Hafez. Work here inside time, not some future heaven, not some future perfect enlightenment I will have. I mean, I've given up 45 years and I'm fucked. I can't do magic, all those things that in my 20s I thought would make sense, they didn't materialize. But we're here inside time right now. So the beauty of constancy with this zazen is letting your wine cup fill. It's not flashy. It's no big deal. But very sweet. Work here inside time where we fail. Exactly, Hafez. If he were doing affirmations for the new age, we would succeed. No, Hafez knows. We fail again and again and again. Catch hold again and climb. So, you know, every time we push aside all the distractions that say, well, I don't have time for a half hour of meditation, I don't have time to come over to the Zen Center or sit on my cushion at home, I don't even have 10 minutes, I'm a busy person. Well, catch hold, and you can catch hold and just, okay, have a seat, no big deal. Well, thanks for your kind attention, and any comments, questions, observations? Yeah.
Early on, you're reading a little detailed paragraph from Suzuki about the constancy, and I wanted to maybe just see that there was a line in there that was like almost saying that this you're kind of implying that patience, that we're looking for this thing, we're waiting for this, when it's really always. There.
Yeah. Well, do you want me to find the...
Sure.
Yeah. You must force yourself to be patient. But in constancy, there is no particular effort involved. Patience can actually be non-acceptance. So patience implies I'm not happy with this moment. I'm tolerating it. And Suzuki is wanting us to identify that, and it's not that we can force ourselves not to be impatient. All we can do is observe what's happening. Ah, okay, I'm sitting here trying to rush the next moment. I can be aware of that part of my mind that's saying, this moment isn't good enough. I've got to get on to the next moment. The sooner the better. But I'm a good person and a patient person, so I will endure. And I've spent lots of time at retreats and in Zen sitting, enduring, waiting for something better to happen. I can see that much more clearly now when I'm just in that kind of mindset that's very dissatisfying. So all we can do is observe and recognize that's what's happening. Yeah.
Just an observation.
Yeah.
Something that you may listen to already know, but if you go to the boundary waters, you will literally see pine trees growing out of the rocks.
So yeah.
Perhaps Zen was made for Minnesota.
Right, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Well, we used to say that to Katagiri when he would get discouraged about how slowly things happen. We'd say, well, you know, it's not like California where everything's just kind of transitory, drifting. No one, there's only one person I know who was born there. Everyone else floated in and floats out. So here we are. The Zen has taken root, and how many of, there must be a half dozen or more of category students now, like Tim and myself and others, teaching sitting. So it's a good atmosphere. And no earthquakes.
Not yet.
Not yet.